Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, April 15th. Now, we've got plenty of news for you today from Kent Fire and Rescue. They've been out attending call-outs across the weekend. We could also bring you reaction from the Gills manager after their League 2 win on Saturday. But first, we're being told do not swim warnings at St Mary's Bay and Littlestone could be in place for years. It comes after the Environment Agency found the water at both beaches to be polluted. The EA and Southern Water both say they can't give a time frame on when the advisory will be lifted. Paul Thomas is an independent New Romney councillor.
From what you've heard, do you feel confident that in 12 months' time that you're going to be in a better situation down here?
Well, I think the one thing they did today, which is something they haven't done so far, they haven't communicated with the town council effectively, in fact not at all, but they haven't communicated very effectively with the district council either. But I think what they have presented today will allay certain fears in terms of them trying to understand the problem. Because at the moment, they know that they have this issue with poor water quality. In terms of understanding what's driving that, I think they're going the right way about it, and they're going about it systematically, which is the most important thing. So I think they will be in a position to understand the impact of the changes that they've made. It will take a while for all this to rattle through the system. But again, I think people today have had the opportunity of hearing firsthand the things they're doing for St Mary's Bay, for Littlestone, for Dymchurch, well, and for Folkestone as well. So I think it was a good all-round presentation.
And as you say, this obviously isn't going to be a quick fix.
No.
But you mentioned about doing your own water testing to let residents know about when and when it's not safe to swim. Do you want to tell me a bit more about that?
Well, we're following the lead set by Sandgate Parish Council last year, who instigated their own testing programme on a weekly basis. So we've been in touch with them. We've been in touch with the people that actually carry out the testing. We are using the same company to do the analysis of those results as well. So what we're expecting to see is the water quality being known to us on a regular basis through our own. We can compare that with the information that's coming from the Environment Agency. We can make some, we'll make the notifications, as I say, to our Facebook page, to our website and on our notice boards, but also to the groups that are represented here today, to the VARN, to the RNLI, the Foiling Collective. So people who are regular, very regular water users will understand exactly what we're finding on a more frequent basis than the results they were getting from the Environment Agency.
Dave Jacobs is a member of the Dymchurch Dippers.
How has this water quality affected your group?
Well, the impact is quite significant in the respect that when we go on to Beach Boy, when we go on to Safer Seas and River Service, we can see when the storm overflows are going, we can see how long it's going for. We've got the potential for sea swimmers to get sick. We can't swim as much as we wanted to. We may be even, people will be put off by going into the sea, which has got many benefits, especially on the cold water side for mental health, you know, well-being, all that sort of stuff. And it's a big impact.
So obviously there isn't currently a do not swim warning in Dymchurch.
Right.
But do you fear that in a year's time, if things don't improve, that there could be that do not swim warning in place?
Yep, I'm yet to be assured. I mean, we've the categories dropped down from good to satisfactory. I do fear that it will go down to poor. And again, that's going to affect us as a group, expanding and being able to do the stuff that we want to do as a group of cold water swimmers.
And from what you've heard from the Environment Agency and Southern Waters today, would you say you feel confident that there's going to be change in the next 12 months, or do you think this is something that could drag out for years to come?
Well, I posed the question to them, that are they up for a challenge? And I'm yet to be assured as many people, or reassured as many people within the audience at the same time, who are pretty much in agreement. I'm not sure things will change in the next year, but I'm there to be proved wrong.
Kent Online News.
New figures out today show nearly 750 people crossed the channel to Kent in small boats just over the weekend. 15 vessels were detected, which means each would have been carrying around 50 passengers. It comes as the Rwanda bill will be debated in the Commons again this week. The government insists the policy, which would send asylum seekers to the African nation, would act as a deterrent. Pro-Palestine demonstrators have set up a blockade outside a Kent factory. They're accusing Instro Precision, based in Discovery Park in Sandwich, of producing military equipment being used in the war against Hamas. They've locked themselves to vehicles and are stopping anyone from getting inside. An investigation is continuing after two women were injured in a crash on the A2 near Canterbury. They were both travelling in a red Peugeot 207 that left the London-bound Boughton bypass last Friday night. It was spotted by a passing police officer. The driver and passenger are being treated in a London hospital. Three people have been arrested after stolen car parts from across the county were found in Tenham. Police discovered the two compounds. Among the scrap was a car reported stolen from Essex. It comes as figures show almost 2,500 cars were stolen from the county streets last year. Now, two people have suffered smoke inhalation after a flat fire in Faversham. Crews were called to Love Lane yesterday morning. It's thought the blaze had started accidentally due to a faulty lithium-ion battery. Meanwhile, firefighters have also been called to tackle a blaze that broke out at a restaurant in Tunbridge Wells. The outbuilding in London Road caught a light just after 6 p.m. There were no reported injuries. It's thought to have started accidentally after hot items were put in a bin. It comes as fire crews have also been tackling a blaze in Faversham, thought to be started by a hot ride-on lawnmower. Three engines were called to Ospringe yesterday after the shed caught fire. There were no reports of injuries. And tributes have been paid to a youth worker from Whitstable who's been described as a local legend. Paul Southgate spent more than 30 years at the town's sailing centre, passing on his passion for canoeing and kayaking. The 71-year-old passed away suddenly last month.
Kent Online News.
A Maidstone mum's possessions have been moved to a storage unit more than 60 miles away after a car crashed into her home. Alana Spencer is having to stay in temporary accommodation while repairs are carried out after it happened in January. The 27-year-old asked for her clothes, furniture and daughter's toys to be kept away from dust, only to be told they'd been taken to Twickenham. Alana has been telling Kent Online reporter Cara Simmons about their new temporary accommodation.
It's close to Ava May Primary School. So it's not too far away for her to get to school. It's obviously a flat, which is fine. It's lovely. I mean, I've got a lovely ensuite bathroom, which is great. But Ava May, it's the holidays at the minute, the Easter holidays. And Ava May prefers being at my mum's because she has a garden.
So it's not too bad. It's
not too bad.
Doesn't feel like your home, I guess.
No, I mean, all my clothes are in bags for lives. There's a wardrobe, but it's not like there's no drawers or anything. So I can hang certain things up, but I can't like put my knickers and socks away or anything like that. And Ava May just keeps asking when she can have all her toys back and her bed back and like her room. Obviously, it's all white in here. So she wants her pink bedroom back and I can't do it because I can't paint in here. It's not mine.
So when did they move your stuff to the storage? When was that?
Valentine's Day.
Okay. And what was your reaction when they said that it was London?
Well,
way?
I kept asking them for a storage unit and they kept going on about how they could leave it all there and get it fixed and I could go back in. And I kept saying, obviously, about dust, mould and all that sort of stuff. And I didn't want to go back. And I said, I've called a storage unit, which was the one, is it Storage King they call it, down in Lochmeadow? And they offered me a price and I said, look, I can get a storage unit for this price and it's all like this and that. And they said, oh, no, we've got our own. And I was like, right, OK, so well, can you move my stuff, please? And they was like, yeah. I was like, where is it? They was like, Twickenham. And I'm like, clueless. I'm like, yep, yeah, OK, fine, that's fine. A storage unit is a storage unit. And then my mum was like, you do know that's the other side of London. I went, are you joking? So I rang them and I was like, I don't know if Twickenham is a good idea. Like, that's really far away. Like, what happens if I need something? And they was like, that's the only one we go with. I mean, the men that come and picked up my stuff and things, they were lovely. Like, they took the bed apart and they put all the bed in the lorry and things, which was great. But yeah, I can't. The other day, it was my sister's 18th birthday and I had to buy a whole new outfit and whole new shoes because I'd actually accidentally packed my shoes and I can't just go and get them.
It sounds a bit insane, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's just really far away because normally, like with a storage unit, you can just go to it, have a key, and they was like, you can ring and check on your stuff. I was like, ah, I can't make it that far.
And obviously, the more serious side of things is that, you have suffered quite a lot, and you've got a lot going on in your life, and you've been through a lot. The emotional and sort of anxiety side of things, going back there, I mean, are you quite scared of what will happen? And I mean, are you still sort of scared?
It always goes through my mind. Obviously, I can sleep here because it's quite a quiet road. But when I first got here, I couldn't not sleep without a light on, and I felt like I was like 10 again in my bedroom, like scared of the dark. But yeah, I couldn't sleep for a while. Obviously, Abe and May couldn't sleep for a while, so we was like sleep deprived for quite a while, like just sat up, like just watching films and things. But yeah, I don't think we're gonna sleep properly until like we've got our own beds and things and actually relax as such.
Housing Association Hyde says the storage is typically only for bulky items and they wouldn't normally expect customers to access their items on a regular basis. They say they'll continue to work with Alala to offer additional support for the remaining time she's in temporary accommodation. A railway line in Cairns has reopened today after 2 weeks of work to fix a landslip. The track on the Redhill to Tunbridge line at Edenbridge became uneven after heavy rain saturated the ground. Engineers have spent the past fortnight strengthening the embankment. Network Rail has apologised for the disruption. People living near a former pub in Dover fear turning it into an HMO will make parking problems even worse. Plans to convert the Dewdrop Inn in Tower Hamlet Street have been approved despite almost 30 objections. The pub closed last year and developers say the housing will be for local people like port workers or nurses. Business owners in Sandwich aren't happy that double yellow lines have appeared in the town, saying it's affecting trade. The restrictions in New Street mean drivers can't park and pop into local shops. The council argue it's to improve safety and reduce congestion.
Kent Online News.
A group of friends are hoping to put a Rochester hotel back on the map by bringing a disused kitchen back to life. Partners Elena and Monish Shome, along with Claire Charlton, have launched GH Test Kitchen at the Gordon House Hotel in the High Street. They plan to host a different guest chef every month. Claire has been giving Cara Simmons more detail.
We're all friends, first and foremost, and we wanted a bit of a creative outlet. And amazingly, the space came available for us to be able to test out an idea that we can bring chefs to Rochester. So you don't have to travel, you don't have to go to Mexico if there's like a Mexican chef. And the idea is that we're going to minimise waste and be able to reduce our costs so we can pass it on to the customer, so give them really amazing value. And it was just to have something exciting and different to the area. It's really changing and it's really exciting to see there's so many bars and restaurants, and we feel like this is a new concept that will fit really nicely into the space.
Brilliant. And so the chefs, are they going to be sort of Kent chefs, or will you get them from sort of all over the UK? Or
All over the UK. We've already had quite a lot of interest, but we wanted to start off with a Kent-based chef. So you've got Damon, who used to have the barn in Raynham and is about to take over Kits Coty, if anyone knows it. So we felt like that was a really great progression and recognisable to local people, the local audience.
It's once a month, isn't it?
Yeah, so once a month. We're fleshing out the full rota at the moment, but we're thinking Wednesday to Sunday, and it's ticketed, so people will buy their tickets in advance, so we know exactly what to cater for, and really make it into an event for people to look forward to and to offer something different each and every month.
Brilliant. And it's going to be all sorts of food then, like you said?
Yeah.
Any type?
Absolutely. So it could be a budding chef that is stifled, like his creativity is stifled, and wants to be able to showcase a menu but wouldn't necessarily have the funds to open up their own restaurant. Could be somebody in between restaurants, or even like just that actually we've had some people that just want to take a holiday and come and do something different.
They're hoping to officially open at the end of May. And North Kent Primary School is set to move into a new building so it can welcome more pupils. Rosherville Primary Academy is currently based on London Road in Northfleet, but will relocate to the Cable Wharf development. The number of children will increase from 141 to 240 when it opens in September next year. It's been suggested the site of an abandoned seafront development in Hythe is turned into a wind farm. The future of the 18-acre plot on Prince's Parade is unclear after controversial plans for 150 homes and a hotel were scrapped. A local council has made the suggestion, saying it could help power the town, but it's been dismissed by the leader. Plans have been put in to restore the entrance to an historic house in Medway 7 months after a car crash. At Kent Online, you can see pictures of the wall and gates to Upner Castle House that was destroyed when it happened last September. One person was seriously injured and treated in a London hospital. The new owners of a garden centre in Dartford have revealed plans to open a mini golf course and nursery. A Strood-based company has brought the site in Sutton at home after it was put on the market for £5 million last year. It's already got a farm shop, dog grooming business and car wash. Science labs at a former college site near Ashford could be knocked down to make way for houses. The buildings at Y have been empty since 2009. They're not far from the main school building, which is currently being converted into 38 homes.
Kent Online News.
Shoppers in Rochester say there have been several near misses after chains to stop cars going down the high street at the weekends were removed. There's now a sign alerting drivers, but some say it's not clear enough. The council say the chains were removed as the restrictions are now enforced by an ANPR camera. It's been confirmed a music festival in memory of a murdered Kent student will be held for the final time this year. 23-year-old Molly McLaren was killed by her ex-boyfriend in the car park at Dockside in Chatham in June 2017. A foundation in her name was set up to help people with eating disorders, but it's now being wound down. Mollyfest will take place on May 25th. Works to remove masts on a sunken Second World War ship are set to take place next year. The SS Richard Montgomery sank off the coast of Sheerness in 1944. It has 1,400 tonnes of explosives aboard. After delays in recent years, the Department for Transport says the priority with any works is to ensure the safety of the public. A pub in Sheerness town centre that dates back to the 1800s has been put up for auction. The house at home has been given a guide price of between £240,000 and £260,000. It's been closed since 2020 and has recently received planning permission to replace it with a micro pub and 8 flats. And child-friendly checkouts have been rolled out at a Maidstone supermarket. The specially adapted tills make it easy for little ones to scan and pack items themselves. They're currently at the Morrisons in Sutton Road. Bosses say they've got plans to introduce them to other stores as well.
Kent Online Sport.
Football Now and Gillingham have kept their playoff dreams alive thanks to a 3-0 win over Barrow. Goals from Josh Andrews, Connor Mahoney and an own goal from the Priestfield visitors extended the Gills' unbeaten run of home games since Boxing Day. This will bring them up to 9th in the League 2 table. Stephen Clements spoke to the club's media man after the match.
Obviously I'm delighted with the 3 points, that's the most important thing. But I said in the press conference on Thursday that we were going to have to be patient against Barrow. They've got the third best defence in the league. Although they went down to 10 men, their shape didn't change and they became a 5-3-1, which made it easier for our defenders to get the ball. But we still had the same problems to get past when we went further up the pitch. I felt that with 11v11, I felt we had a good chance with Johnny. I think the keeper made a good save. But once the man got sent off, we had to find some solutions, which I spoke about on Thursday, where it's been hard for us to score goals. We had a lot of teams that have come and sort of tried to stop us here at Priestfield. But what I tried to do, I changed us into a diamond to get us to Johnny around the two strikers, and obviously that I felt that helped us, and obviously I'm delighted to get the free goals. I would have liked to have got more, being greedy, but obviously coming here and winning today is the most important thing.
Josh Walker was taken off. He's only been on, I think, a matter of seconds. Talk to me about Josh. How is he?
Josh got quite a whack into his sort of chest area, sternum area. Is it sternum? Sternum. Sternum, isn't it? In the sternum area. And then I think he fell on his head. So it was sort of a double blow. And we had to, it was a concussion sub in the end because he was a little bit dizzy. But it was a hell of a whack. And I'm pleased to see that he's okay now. And I've spoke to him. I spoke to him at half time and I spoke to him at the end of the game. And he'll be okay. But he'll probably have to miss the next game because of the protocols.
Must have been frustrating because you were forced into two early changes, really. That must have been a little frustrating.
Well, it was, but it happens, and you've got to adjust and you've got to adapt and as I say, try and make the right substitutions that find the answers for and that help the lads. And I felt we done that today. But the boys were great. Look, there's been a lot of criticism thrown about in the last, well, probably since the Harrogate game, and rightly so. We have to accept that. But what you have to do as an individual and as a collective, you have to knuckle down, roll your sleeves up, and when you put your boots on, you have to go out there and give it a right good go. And that's the only way you can shut one or two people up. And I asked that of the boys today, and I thought they went out there and did that.
Including Josh Andrews, of course, his first start and his first goal, which is always good to get.
Look, Josh is a different profile to Ollie Hawkins. Ollie Hawkins has done really, really well this season, and I've been really, really happy with him. But Josh is a big man, just like Ollie is. But Josh is a little bit more mobile, and obviously he's a lot younger than Ollie as well. So he gave us a little bit of a different dimension. That runner over the top where he scores the first goal, unfortunately we've not had too much of that this season. So I was delighted for him. He obviously had another great effort from outside the box, which the keeper tipped over the bar. But I thought his game involvement was fantastic, and it's exactly why we brought him to the football club. We knew he'd be a good player now, but he'll be a good player for Gillingham Football Club for the next few years.
That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.